This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
And a happy Monday to you all in Kansas City, a soggy, sog pit, slop dog Monday morning.
You getting out and playing golf today in this one, Dusty?
No, sir. No, sir. Probably no golf this entire week, to be honest with you.
Really? Whole week, huh?
Well, I mean, maybe not. Well, Thursday golf tournament I'll be at.
Yeah.
You guys are on your own.
Friday, right?
Friday I'll be here.
Oh, Thursday you're off.
Yeah,
Thursday. Oh, I thought you said Friday you were off.
No, Thursday.
Okay.
Friday we'll be got a big game to talk about Friday at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock Seattle. Friday night. Can't wait for that one.
Mackie gonna be able to stay sober enough long enough to dial in the first half of the Friday night game.
Yeah, I gotta take my notes.
Yeah,
Mahomes
will play at least two drives in that game.
Oh my goodness. Well, maybe more than 48 seconds, you know, or something like that. If you expected more than 48 seconds and you're disappointed, that's on you today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right, if you're upset that Mahomes only played for less than a minute in that game and you're like, it's bothering you, that's on you, man. You got to temper down those expectations going into the preseason.
He threw a dime, though.
He did, man. One pass, one touchdown, 1 yard.
Jason Brownlee, baby.
Brownlee.
Making a case
to be wide receiver number 8.
18. Eight.
Like 7, yeah.
They're going to keep 6, though. And then you had your boy Bailey Zappi.
Yep.
He was out there.
He stunk, boy. He was terrible, wasn't he? Was he? I don't know. I'm asking. Do we know?
Could not tell you.
Anybody? I mean,
we could look
at
the stats.
Can we call Binkley and see if Zappi was terrible the other night? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think he threw a pick or something. I can't remember.
Did he throw an interception last night? Totally forgot he was back on the roster, too. Who was the guy that you were like stunned that you thought was no longer here or you didn't hear of? And you're like,
I had no idea Robert Tonyan was on
Robert
the team.
Robert Tonyan, that's a good one. Yeah, what's he
no
doing?
No one has talked about Robert Tonyan the entire camp.
Yeah.
Am I wrong on that?
Travis talked about him a couple weeks ago, but yeah.
We have not mentioned Robert Tonyan's name in 2 weeks.
Why would we, though? I mean,
he's a solid tight end.
I was going to say, he was a starting tight end 3 or 4 years ago on a great offense.
No.
On a great offense 3 or 4 years ago. Now he's our third tight end. It's pretty crazy.
And Kelsey calls him Big Bob.
Big Bob.
We got to get that drop at some point.
Oh, absolutely we do.
Big Bob's beepers. Hey, Arnold. Let's see. What did Bailey Zappi do, if anybody's like pining to know? Bailey Zappi, 8 of 17, 70 yards, 2 interceptions.
Nice day.
Gardner Minshew, 6 of 9, 54 yards, nothing. Oladokun, is that how you say that guy's name?
Yeah. Sure.
Oladokun.
6 of 13, 39 yards. Patrick Mahomes, 1 for 1, 1 yard, 1 touchdown.
Perfect day.
Sounds good.
That's all you need, right?
QBR, 100.
There you go. Perfect day for Patrick Mahomes.
His longest pass was 1 yard.
That's right.
His rating was a 118.8.
That's perfect.
He's so back.
Yeah, he is, man. And the haircut and everything. He is ready to roll. All right, so we talked about the preseason game.
Yep, that's all there is to it.
Have fun in St. Joe with that, guys. And I hope you can build on what you witnessed on Saturday night or Friday night, whenever that was.
We did lose Deion Bush for the entire season. Tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
What was his? He was like safety number 4, basically.
Veteran, say, I don't know, safety 3 or 4,
but he was
depth guy.
Yeah.
Veteran safety.
Losing your Adam Frazier, type of guy. Losing your.
It sucks to lose the vet and the youngest position unit on defense.
Well, next man up.
Yeah for sure.
Yeah. Which gives Jaden Hicks a little bit more time. He had a pick, by the way.
Had a pick, also got his ankles destroyed in the middle of the field, but
we'll take both.
Preseason. We love both. Yep.
It happens.
Kyler Murray said, hey, I'm still him. Here you go. Drove all the way down the field and just threw it right to it.
Kyler Murray isn't even the best quarterback on his team. Jacoby Brissett is the best quarterback inside that organization. Kyler Murray sucks so bad. I'm so over people thinking that this guy is a good quarterback. He is mid at best. At best, he's a mid-range quarterback. I think he is terrible. I think he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
Ooh.
And everybody just loves to laud this guy with, he's so good. He has done nothing. And he's in year 7 now of the NFL. Who the hell had that on their scorecard that Kyler Murray is in year 7? Right now in the NFL. I was watching the Cardinal broadcast a little bit, and they're like, yes, year 7 of Kyler Murray. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Talk about an unmemorable career for that guy. I mean, other than that, like, Hail Mary against Buffalo, what's a memorable moment that Kyler Murray has had now going into his 7th year as a starting quarterback in this league?
Well, he's got MVP odds.
Well, everybody does at this point, right?
Yeah, I think it's...
Give him about a 40% chance.
I mean, you start to think about quarterbacks and memorable moments and plays that were made and things that like stand them out that are their career-defining moments. Kyler Murray's got nothing, literally nothing, to define his career other than that horrible interview he did with, I think it was Rich Eisen at the Super Bowl, right? Where his dad had to get involved as to what they were doing. And his play has been pretty much that since he's arrived in the NFL. I'm not going to sit here because the media wants this guy to be good, or they told us he was going to be good, to hang on that he's a good quarterback. That guy sucks, man. He's terrible. Jacoby Brissett is a much better quarterback than Kyler Murray. I don't think either of them are any good, but I mean, when you don't have a quarterback, you don't have anything.
Bob might be in midseason form.
God, I mean, Jacoby Brissett's
better than Kyler Murray.
I'll take Jacoby Brissett. I think Kyler Murray's one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. That's my opinion on that, right?
One of the worst starters. Jacoby Brissett is not a starting level quarterback.
Well, neither is Kyler Murray, though. I mean, Kyler Murray's what has Kyler Murray done to deserve just to be the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals, other than the fact that you do have Jacoby Brissett and some other guy you probably never heard of back there. But, I mean, what has he done in his course of the NFL, of his NFL career, that you go, man, that's really something to build on with Kyler Murray? Maybe you see a play here or there with Kyler Murray, but you're trying to build your franchise around a guy who, A, isn't a leader, B, isn't an alpha personality, and C, is mid at best. And they continue to roll him out there. And every year we go, oh, Kyler Murray. Now, Kyler Murray is a terrible NFL quarterback.
I don't know if he's terrible. I don't know if he's as good as maybe some people might have thought he was ever going to be after winning the Heisman Trophy. But, I mean, I think that he's – I mean, look, it's the NFL, man. Like, there's seven really, really good quarterbacks. Then there's a pack of, you know, decent, you know, about 5 to 6 decent quarterbacks. After that, it's kind of like, you know, pick your poison.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I mean, Kyler Murray's in that mold with, like, Geno Smith, I think. I don't know if that's being too harsh.
How about Geno Smith going double bird at the Seahawks? Awesome. I love it.
One of the coldest photos of all time. I mean, I thought that was absolutely awesome.
It was so good.
And then he's got Max Crosby right behind him being like, yeah, keep it coming. Yeah. Like, come on.
Like, they booed that guy. He kind of rescued them for a couple of years up in Seattle, right? I mean, he wasn't a horrible quarterback for them.
No, I mean, I think that the script is out on Kyler. I mean, I think this is the last true year.
You think so? It has to be.
I think this is like his last shot. I mean, I think he's, you know, they drafted him a wide receiver one. That wide receiver one was decent last year. That wide receiver is Marvin Harrison Jr., who put on some weight, looked decent in a couple of routes that he ran against the Chiefs. Had one that was just like a wide open. He put somebody, it wasn't Hicks, but he put somebody in a spot and Kyler hit him. But this is probably it for him. Like, this is probably like, hey, I mean, I know he got a huge contract from Arizona as well, so it's not like they're going to put him on the bench and not play him. But again, this is one of those years where it's like, all right, dude, this is year two with your wide receiver. You got a really good tight end.
Year three with this coach now, too? Like, right? They hired him after the first Super Bowl, I believe, that Philadelphia was in against
Jonathan
the Chiefs,
Gannon,
right?
Yep.
And he's the offensive guy or the
defensive guy? Defensive
guy. He's the defensive guy down there. Okay, yes. The offensive guy is in Indianapolis. That's going well.
It's going very
Daniel
well.
Jones was named the week two starter this week, shockingly. You know, Anthony Richardson's finger is pointing to the side looking like, you know,
Brian Baldinger.
Yeah. Oof. God.
I showed my family him yesterday because he was on the NFL Network. I was like, Do you guys know his finger?
Yeah.
Oh. You guys want to see it?
And he kept talking to me with that hand. I was like, you're going to put that away, right?
You poke me in the eye with that thing.
So
but that's how, you know, that's how Anthony Richardson's, you know, finger looked the other day. So Daniel Jones is the starter there. That's going well.
And then you were hanging out at Cody's house. You got stung by a wasp this weekend.
Yeah, what the hell, man? He got stung by a wasp twice or two wasps at the same time. I don't know. But yeah, my wrist looks like very plump.
And did you put ice on it?
Yes, lots of ice. I'm going to get Benadryl today. It's what Hannah said to do.
Maybe,
so
he'll be asleep for 10 hours.
That's why I don't want to do it.
3 a.m. ready to hit
the
show.
Does it hurt?
It doesn't hurt. Just like uncomfortable.
Yeah, one of those type of things. This is like stupid, but my mother with bug bites used to tell me now that we have Aspen. We don't have to worry about the mosquitoes, but you put the X in your like bite and it's supposed to stop it maybe.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
It started itching a lot.
Yeah. Try to put like an X in it with your fingernail and see if that happens. I don't know. There was some old wives tale back in the day. You know, it kind of numbs it or whatever it is. Kind of maybe takes your mind away from it and you forget about it.
It's like some ritual I start.
Maybe.
I'll try that. Thank you. Yeah, but it's been good. Other than that, yeah, it was a great weekend. Me and PickleCon, me and Drew played some pickleball. It was fun.
Who won?
We went 1-1 when we were with the pros, and then we played solos. Now, here's the thing.
So he beat you.
No, I don't think the rules were correct. He did do better than me in the solos. But we were 1-1 in the pros. But yeah, he beat me.
Did Chad Johnson play in this thing? Was Ocho Cinco down there playing?
I saw Hansborough. I saw Tyler Hansborough.
No way,
which was cool.
Really?
Yeah, he was going
How
hard.
How tall is that guy at a pickleball court?
He looks massive.
There's nothing worse than playing with former athletes, no matter what level they are, because I played pickleball a few times with some of the guys that they have out there with like Garrick Dieter and Beasler and guys like that, right, nice. That play obviously high-level sports. holy cow. I mean, they take it seriously out there on the pickleball court.
Wasn't T.O. out there?
Yep, T.O. was out there.
That's what
I
just said. Didn't I say T.O.? Who did I say?
Ocho Cinco.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, T.O.
Should have known that's where you were headed.
No,
yes. Wide receiver.
Yeah. I don't know why I had Ocho Cinco on my mind or whoever I had, T.O., whoever the hell I had on my mind. But I saw it was Ocho Cinco out there playing.
Yeah, or yes. Yes, Ocho. Terrell.
Terrell Owens.
Terrell Owens. Tyler Insbro, and there were some other people.
That Sting's got your head going different places. What was it? Alex called him Terrell?
Yeah,
it's Terrell.
He called him Terrell, and Terrell. It's Terrell.
Yeah,
which he just never told us, I guess, forever, his whole career until the end. So
yeah, that was pretty funny.
It's like Tyrod Taylor, right?
Tyrod.
Like, hey, guys, it's Tyrod,
not Tyrod.
Yeah, why
do you
go
your whole life letting everybody pronounce your name wrong? And they go, actually, you've been pronouncing it wrong. Where was that 15 years ago?
Let me know.
Yeah.
We just got to the point where we didn't care, because my last name is very hard for people to say. They always want to say Lickens.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So there's no C.
Well, it's, you know, we go out to eat and be Lickens, party of four. That's us.
Okay.
Thank you. Even though, 10 minutes ago, it's Lickens. We have four people. All right, sounds good. Yeah. We have the Lickens part. There we go.
Works for us.
Or
what
you go to,
care?
Like, Freddy's or Chick-fil-A. And what's the name on the order? It's Dustin. All right, Justin, please pull forward.
Yeah, of course.
All right, Hey, Justin, it is. Yeah, how you doing?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Doesn't matter. What name do you have?
Yeah. Exactly.
Have you ever snaked the table for somebody where they're like, Ralph, party of four, and you go up and you go, I'm Ralph, and you take the table away from those people when you're
never
not?
Done that.
Have you ever had anybody do that at the restaurant? Have you ever seen anything? Anybody?
No.
Anybody? Bueller? Anybody? Do that so we get their ass kicked because they took somebody's table?
Oh, yeah, that table belongs to Bailey Zappi.
You're going to be looking for a table based on, what did you say, two interceptions the other night? That ain't good.
Nope. Not at all.
No.
Get somebody else in there besides that
game. BBL stinky.
Coming up on the other side, speaking of that, the Kansas City Royals lost to the St. Paul Bananas this weekend, 2 out of 3. It's sad, and now the pressure's even more on. But, hey, 10 in a row at home, and you got to play 10 games in 11 days. We'll dive into those Royals plus more into that preseason game that was Saturday at 7, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fernier every Monday at 8:20, right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Monday morning, rolling along here on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Lickens with you. Hey, Dusty Lickens, do you hang out with Dave Tube? Top text on the text line there. So that's
nice.
We're off to a hot start.
That's awesome.
It's fantastic. That is great. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll be joined by ESPN's Nate Taylor. And then immediately following him, we'll be joined by 96.5 The Fan's baseball insider, Josh Vernier, who will be, he'll be honest. I know that for a fact, and we can be honest as well. Very disappointing series this weekend. Friday night, I mean, terrible. We went out and had some cocktails and celebrated, and I show up to the place, and Bob, I told him, I said, yeah, we're getting blown out. He goes, it was 4-1 when we left the sand trap.
No, it was 3-1. Yeah.
I said, well, it's 7-1 now. Oh, but wait, Bobby just hit a solo home run. It's 7-2.
Yay.
I don't really get it. I understand that, like, there's Twins players on that team. One was like a 31-year-old vet, hit his first base hit yesterday. It just happened to be.
Oh, that guy was 31 years old?
I believe so.
Oh, my.
Was in the Royals organization.
Yeah.
So another one we let get away, joined Brent Rooker. Let's see, who else is there? Devernay.
O'Hearn.
Yeah, all those guys that we could have had that could have been ballers. But a very disappointing season, and I'm going to piss people off. I know this is going to make people upset, but they are still 4 games out. And I know that some people say, well, it's fine. They're 2 games under 500. They're not really sure that they're a playoff team. It's still competitive. And I understand that, like, the Royals and themselves are, you know, told us they'd be a playoff team. 4 games out with, what, 40 games left or so or something like that. And you actually still have a chance. And I think the thing that's interesting that I think that we don't take for granted is they were a playoff team last year. The year before that, they were absolutely terrible, 100-loss team. This year, they're still fighting. Obviously, there are things that could go a lot better. There are things that could have gone differently. And at the end of the year, it might be Noah Cameron and Michael Garcia will be your players of the year. Bobby Witt Jr. misses yesterday's game with lower back tightness. We'll see where that goes. He talked himself in the lineup on Saturday, then Sunday, they're like, no way, we're going to play 10 games in 11 days. Just get home and get healthy. And I think what we forget about, and again, I'm not trying to sound like the moral millennial here, but like this team is still competitive. Like it's still like you still literally have a chance to be a playoff team. And in years past, that's not there. Like it's been either they go to the World Series in 14, 15, and 13, they, you know, finish above 500, have a good year. And then 16, they're competitive. 17, and you can kind of see the pieces falling apart. Yeah. And then you had just that run of just 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. And then 24, they get to the playoffs, lose in the ALDS. This year, they're still fighting for the playoffs. But again, like they could be like a 100-loss team. They could be exactly what those Minnesota Twins were, where you're like, you know, it's a slapstick, kind of a humorous win when you're like, we took 2 out of 3 from the Royals and we had, you know, the Savannah Bananas playing on our roster. And I think that we forget where this team was. And I understand that, like, yeah, you can't dwell in the past and be like, oh, yeah, that's the they said they were going to be a playoff team. They did. They 100% did. Mm-hmm. They're definitely not out of it. It's 4 games, but they're not really doing anything to kind of make up that
it's
number.
It's been 4 games for a week,
feels like it's been about a month.
Yeah.
And obviously you have to start winning consistently. Like, you have to go 15-2 in your next 17 games. You've got to go 8-2 in this 10-game homestand or whatever the hell it is. And that's where they've got to go. They haven't gotten to that point, but again, they are competing. They are showing you life in their organization. Yes, it's not the way that you want it to be. You'd like to be in that playoff spot. You'd like to have that security. But again, think about teams in the past where it's just, oh, last year was a fluke, I guess, but they're still actually still fighting to be a playoff team. So whether you like that sort of narrative or not, that's exactly what this team is, and that's where this team will probably be. Some years you hope to be a little bit better, but they're not a 100-loss team. They're not seasons over. It's not where the White Sox are. It's not where the Twins are. It's not where these teams in the National League are. Hell, look at the Baltimore Orioles. They were a playoff team this year, and they were out within the first 2 months of the season.
The first 2 weeks of the season, the Baltimore Orioles were pretty much done. Competitive this weekend, I'll push back a little bit on that. I don't think the Royals were very competitive this weekend. I thought they stunk out loud. They got their doors blown off on Friday night, and then yesterday, 1-for-15 with runners in scoring position.
Terrible.
Pathetic. That's embarrassing, but it's also a microcosm of what this season has become for this ball club. And that's the defining stat right there if this team does not make it into the playoffs. And look, I saw Rob Brenton's tweet yesterday, and I echo where he is. Until this team's above 500, I don't really have much of an interest in discussing whether or not they can make it into the postseason. But that 1-of-15 with runners in scoring position yesterday is the defining stat of the year. And it really has been their biggest Achilles heel because the pitching has still been fantastic. I mean, again, yesterday, that guy, that Burgert or who, whatever his name was that they picked up, you know, at the trade deadline, it's 2 consecutive outings where you're looking at him, you're going, holy crap, man, what did we get here? What a great trade by JJ. He now just needs to work his magic because I think JJ's done a really nice job. They just couldn't get that bat that they wanted. And nobody got the bat that they really wanted, you know, in baseball at the trade deadline this year. The bats were not moving at the trade deadline. And that's why going into this offseason, get ready again, guys. They're going to trade one of these pitchers, whether it's Bubich, whether it's Cameron, whether it's Burger, whoever the case may be, whoever gives you the best opportunity to get a bat back in return. Because I think that's the way the Royals are going to have to go out and acquire a bat. We saw last year during the free agency period and during the offseason, they tried and they were outbid. So the way that you can actually go out now and get a bat for your lineup, a controllable bat, is to part with something. And you've got about 6 or 7 good guys in your rotation right now that you should be willing to go out there this offseason and make a nice trade to get that bat. And once they get that veteran bat in here, then you can kind of start seeing this ball club come together. But man, this weekend against the Minnesota Twins, I said you had to go out there and sweep the Minnesota Twins because they're a bad team. You got to keep a losing team losing, a team that traded, you know, 10 of their guys, I think, in the last week. And they took 2 out of 3 from you, and you weren't competitive Friday, and it really wasn't much of a game yesterday as well. And so I think at this point of the season, it's got to be win streaks. It's got to be 5, 6, 7, 8 in a row to get back into this thing because every time they get something, they give it back. Like what they did in Toronto last week. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Give it back, losing 2 out of 3 to Boston, and then give it back even more, losing 2 out of 3 to the Minnesota Twins. And so this team just has to find a way to string together more than one up, one down, one up, one down. But that's maybe who they are this year. And sometimes you take that step back before you accelerate and go forward. Look at the Chiefs, right? Playoffs, no playoffs, haven't missed the playoffs since and have been pretty good since taking that one step back. And so maybe you take this step back, you regroup, you make a big trade this offseason, you get that bat in here, and then going into next season, you can say, all right, we got our rotation, we got our bullpen, we finally got that bat that we've needed in the middle of the lineup, and now you can be a team that can be reckoned with. And maybe you make two trades this offseason for bats.
Royals in action again tonight at 6:40 against the Washington Nationals. It is Bailey Falter on the mound. Against Cade Cavalli. He's only pitched in four and a third innings.
That's it all year.
So that means he's going to.
He'll dominate, yeah, right?
Four and a third innings, six strikeouts, one walk with a whip of 0.92. No ERA, no record because he's only pitched four and a third. Oh. But Bailey Falter gets to try to bounce back from what he had. Royals favorites tonight at -155 over under at 8.5. You think they finish over under 500?
I think they finish above 500. But I don't think they finish enough to get the required wins to get in the playoffs. I could see them winning 83 games. And you know what? If they win 83 games and they go, 83 and 79
or
whatever it would be, right? 83 and 79. It's still a good record. You're still above 500. And that's 2 years in a row of being above 500, being in the mix all year long. Mm-hmm. And that's what you can ask for this team. I mean, honest to God, when was the last time we were consistently good 2 years in a row, 14 and 15?
Yes.
I mean, you think about it, right? So these are few and far between. And if they finish at 83 and 79, will we feel disappointed if they miss the postseason? You bet we will. And that's a good feeling to have because that means we had expectations going into this year. And I think what this season is telling us is that we should have expectations every single year for this organization to be a competitive organization. Some years they'll get in, some years they won't. But back to your original point, it's not going to be a 100-loss season like it was a couple of years ago. I think those days are long gone for the Royals.
Yeah, I mean, let's see, to get to 82 wins, there's 44 games left, 58 plus 24. They got to win 24 of their next 44 games to get to 82 wins. So time's running out.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that was the Royals series this weekend. Wasn't great. We'll talk to Josh Fernier about that a little bit later.
They play the White Sox twice in the next like five series.
Yeah, that's, but the White Sox are playing better baseball, though. I mean, the Nationals just took two out of three from the Giants over the weekend. And I know they've given up a little bit on the season as well. But still, I mean, the Nationals were looked at as a bottom feeder. They went out to San Francisco, just took two out of three from the Giants out there.
I mean, the Twins traded away 10 active players
on
their roster and still couldn't beat
them. Right, their whole bullpen they traded away, right? Like, they traded away their whole bullpen, and then they give you an opportunity yesterday by not being able to get down a bunt. Had that guy in the 10th inning just got that bunt down, that dude hits a sack fly, the Twins win in the 10th. But they screwed that thing up 10 times from Sunday. And then you didn't have the opportunity to capitalize on that yesterday. Like, those were the moments that you looked at in that game yesterday. The Twins had an opportunity to absolutely win that thing in the bottom of the 10th. All that guy had to do was put down a bunt, couldn't get down a bunt. And now you go to the 11th. Those are the moments where you say, okay, you screwed up your opportunity. You didn't take advantage of that opportunity. And now we've got to take it back. And that was the killer instinct that I think was lacking yesterday.
From the 913, Royals suck. Time to move to football. Well, asking you shall receive, because there was a Chiefs game this Friday, Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Watch the first drive. It was hilarious. Kickoff, fumble, get the ball. Four plays later, ref's already doing favors for the Chiefs.
Yep.
Giving them a pass interference call right there in the end zone, half the distance. Next play, Brownlee just right there, stretched out. Go, gadget arms. Mm-hmm. Mahomes puts it on a dot. No one even knew he threw it unless you were watching Patrick Mahomes. That's how in sync he was on that play. Just knew exactly where to put it right on the dot. Mahomes going to win MVP. He's probably going to throw 45 touchdowns, probably going to throw over 4,500 yards. Mm-hmm. Sign up. Let's do it.
Look, Dusty, based on that game, he is on pace to throw a touchdown pass with every ball he throws this year.
One of one, one touchdown, 1 yard, 118 QBR. No, I kid, but on the serious part is I did love the fact that on Twitter you have these nuts out there that just know how to like give you everything you want. And one thing that I wanted was to watch our guy, Josh Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was great.
I thought so too. I actually stood by the TV and just watched him because I knew that was the only way I was going to be able to focus on Josh Simmons. If I just stood at the TV and watched, because you know how it is when you watch a game. Oh, we're all going to watch Josh Simmons. The hell we are. We're all following the ball. It's human nature, right? We all do it. We're watching the quarterbacks. So I'm like, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to force myself to watch Josh Simmons on the offensive line. I'm like, that's the only way I'm actually going to see what he's doing. I was damn impressed with Josh Simmons. Like, I hate to be this guy. He made it look easy, guys. He made it look really easy out there. Now, again, I don't know what the Diamondbacks were rolling out there as opposed to defensive linemen or, you know, whatever their defensive scheme is and how that matches up. But I watched Josh Simmons play, and he looked like a resident NFL lineman, like a veteran dude who had been around the block, right? He didn't look
quick.
He didn't look like a rookie. He didn't look like he was lost. I mean, quite frankly, he looked better than Trey and Creed did in that game, you know? So, and that's no knock against them. I was overwhelmed with Josh Simmons. I think everybody was. I don't think anybody's walking away from that game going, well, Josh Simmons wasn't really good. I thought for a first outing, man, you got to be excited about that guy. I know I am. I'm thrilled with Josh Simmons so far.
Yeah, dude's a monster. He looked incredible. His get-off speed is like Juwan Taylor's, except it's right when the ball moves.
Yeah, when the ball
moves.
It's
perfect. It's awesome. We love that. But yeah, he was incredible. His hands were great. They tried an inside spin move just to the ground.
Exactly.
Just amazing. He's getting back. He's getting pushed back, but it seems like he's still just holding his ground, anchoring to the turf. He was awesome. Only 12 snaps, I think it was.
Yeah.
But it was enough to kind of see, okay, this guy gets it. This guy's going to be implemented and a huge part of this offense.
I kind of like his look. I like the two taped lines on the arm.
Yeah, old school a little bit.
Yeah, just kind of, and then like you see him on the field, just kind of like on the sideline holding his helmet, standing there looking like an offensive tackle that you should have on the left side. We'll see, like, obviously as the season progresses and like where he's going to get exploited when it comes to weaknesses, but we were talking, Carrington had Jeff Allen on the show back a couple weeks ago, and they were talking like, well, how are you going to beat him? You're not going to go underneath him because he's already got the position. You're not going to bull rush through him. The only way you're going to beat him is if you're like TJ Watt, Aiden Hutchinson. Those guys aren't going to be on that side. They're going to be on the right side against Juwan Taylor unless they want to switch over, and if they do, I accept that challenge.
Sure.
And I'll be excited to see how he does against those, you know, veteran, you know, because really the first test is not the Chargers. Because I don't know if I trust their D-line. The first real test will be in Arrowhead against Philadelphia on Sunday Night Football, I believe.
Saturday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon. And it'll be against that defensive front. And that's the defensive front that still has a bunch of people in Kansas City with the sour taste in their mouth. And you hope that by the time that game is over, that sour taste has gotten to a sweeter taste. Mm-hmm. That you're like, okay, God, if we'd had him last year.
That
sort of feeling. But like what I noticed, and I know that there's not a whole lot out there as well, but what I noticed is that offensive line looked much better. And I'm not saying that the Arizona defense is great, but that play that Mahomes hits in the corner of the end zone, he has no worry. Like, that play is a snap, turn, throw before anybody looks. The corner had no idea the ball was there. What is it, Brownlee? Turns around, and it's just automatically.
It was a great catch by him, though, too, man.
And it's just the fact that, like, even when they threw the pass interference play, Mahomes stepped back. He did not move out. He just stepped back, looked, had the time, and that's because 71 was on the left side just blocking. I thought Kingsley looked okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think he... I mean,
I thought there were some people on Twitter who were trying to make Kingsley look worse than he was in that game last night or Saturday night. Did you really?
I personally did.
Okay. Honest to God, didn't pay much attention to Kingsley because I was watching the guy next to him, number 71.
Totally.
I really didn't pay much attention to the rest of the offensive line. Like, I really did zero in. I did stand there and just watch that guy, so I didn't really pay attention to much. And once Patrick Mahomes left, I really didn't care about anybody else on the field, quite honestly, because you take the number one guys out, it really doesn't matter. So, but I had the opportunity to watch this guy as a rookie, and I wanted to see what he could do. But I couldn't tell you a damn thing Kingsley did. It just wasn't in my lexicon on Saturday night to watch him when I'm watching the guy next to him because I was so into watching Josh Simmons. Like, I haven't been this excited, honest to God, about a rookie since Patrick Mahomes. I mean, really, I like this is the most excited I've been, and it's an offensive tackle, and it goes to show you, like, we should have been more excited about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We're just like, coming off the first Super Bowl, whatever the case may be. But I think we're all looking at Josh Simmons, and hopefully he doesn't wear this. But I think we're all looking at Josh Simmons as like the missing link to this whole thing to move this dynasty forward again and to start the clock over again on this dynasty. Like, hate to break it to the kid, man. A lot of pressure, dude. Like,
riding on
we're,
you.
We're all putting the pressure on you now, Josh Simmons, because you were so good on Saturday night. You're our savior. And he's a rookie.
And they'll play again Friday night at 9 o'clock against Seattle. You said he played 12 snaps?
12 snaps.
Or about?
Give him about a 40% chance.
40%. Yeah, there you go. By the way, did you guys watch Shador Sanders at all?
I saw Shador Sanders, man. Holy crap, did he dominate that game, huh? How fun was that?
I said, here we go again. It's the Cleveland Browns and it's first and 10.
Zach
so
Ryan.
Get on your feet and let the games begin. It's here we go again.
Nike already has a Shador ad.
Can you believe that?
Can we chill?
Can we chill a little bit? I mean, Dusty and I were excited Friday night. We're like, oh, Shador, man, how good was Shador? And then we see the Nike ad like 10 minutes later, and you're like, all right, let's. It was fun. Yeah. It was extremely awesome. And the league is going to be so much better if Shador Sanders is playing. He did exactly what I wanted him to do. On Friday
night. Cause controversy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Go out there, ball out. He made some really nice throws, too. I mean, it wasn't
really
I mean, like, he made some good throws in that game. And I'm like, damn, I didn't know that Shador was that good. But that was the opportunity he had, being a fifth-round pick, should have been the number one overall pick, all that kind of stuff we heard for the last year. Goes in the fifth round. Mel Kiper loses his mind. And he went out there, and he dominated. And I think he showed a lot of people maybe the fifth-round pick was a little bit low for him. But he did everything he needed to do, I thought, in that preseason game to make people realize, maybe I am better than a fifth-round draft pick. I thought he was fantastic on Friday.
I also think that was the first time he had played with the ones. Like, I'm pretty sure at practice, like, they had him.
He'd been with the fives.
Yeah. And, look, I'm not going to go over the top here, but I think if you had to look at it from before that game started to where after it started, yes, you can. I haven't even looked at the text line because I just want to play this Cleveland Browns song again. But, like, yeah, it's against Carolina. Yes, it's preseason. But, again, look at what we had to go off of. And that's why I think preseason gets kind of muddled with certain I guess, angles the way you look at it. Like, yes, you can go off the rails and be like, oh, Mahomes, 1-1, touchdown, great, and all that sort of stuff. We know what Mahomes has. We know what we've seen from Patrick Mahomes. He's a 3-time Super Bowl champion, a 2-time MVP, 3-time Super Bowl MVP winner. Like, we understand what Patrick Mahomes is. But, like, with Shador Sanders, it was like, you're on one side of the camp of F this guy. He's only here because of his dad. Mm-hmm. He's arrogant. He should have gone in the fifth. He shouldn't even have gotten drafted to, oh, okay, well, what can he do? Like, he's got talent. We know that. You don't just go D1 and ride the coattails of your father's name. Like, you go because you have some sort of talent. He got drafted in the fifth round. Now there's your, you know, theories on why. Is it because he needed to be humbled? Is it because maybe, you know, nobody wanted that in their camp? And then they said, you know what? We're going to let you start on Friday night. Go have fun. Go see what you can do. And he did it. And he played. Mm-hmm. And he threw 2 touchdowns. And they were good touchdown passes. He made good decisions to scramble. He made bad throws. Of course he did. But that was his first start in the NFL in a preseason game. And if I were to tell Shador Sanders on Thursday before the game starts and said, hey, here's the deal. Here's how your first game will go in the preseason. Would you take it? I think 100 out of 100 times to say, yeah, take that
Had
start.
Everybody talking about his performance on Friday night and Saturday, right? Like, everybody's like, did you see Shador? Did you see Shador? Everybody was having those conversations because of how good he was in that game. I think he wowed a lot of people. And I saw somebody from Cleveland say this is the most exciting, you know, rookie that they've had since LeBron James made his debut for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And they're not wrong about saying that. I mean, I know people want to say, oh, that's a hot take, but it's not. This is the most excited that organization or that city has been about a player since LeBron James.
But he
pooped the bed right away. He immediately.
But that's the result, not the pre-excitement.
Right. But for this guy's performance, I think people are more excited now in Cleveland today about Shador Sanders than they were this time last week or even Thursday before the game.
For
the hype level has exploded now in Cleveland. And in my opinion, you need to ride that hot hand. Ask yourself this, the say it out loud test. Everybody thinks that Cleveland is going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL, if not the worst. They're already trying to link Arch Manning, right, to Cleveland with the number one overall pick.
He ain't coming up.
No, he's not. But even still, everybody's talking about them being a bad franchise. Am I right about that, right? Everybody thinks they're going to stink, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
What are you gaining by playing Joe Flacco? Like, if you're going to be a bad NFL team, let your quarterback, who is your rookie, get his lumps and learn this year. Because, you know, the only reason you start Joe Flacco, in my opinion, if you're Cleveland, is because you're trying to hold this thing together and piecemeal it and sell a few more tickets and have a veteran quarterback back there. But if you're really going to move this organization forward and this guy is going to be your quarterback in the future, then let this kid go out there and play all year and let him learn, because I don't think it's a Patrick Mahomes type of scenario at all. I think Shador needs to go out there and play for a franchise that everybody thinks stinks, right? Everybody thinks they're going to finish in last. Everybody thought the Chiefs were really good before they drafted Patrick Mahomes. Like, what do you draft this kid for? You got Alex Smith. You got Joe Flacco, who's 45 years old. You gain nothing this season by playing Joe Flacco. I think you can gain a lot by playing Shador Sanders.
And the 913 owes me a beer, because I told you exactly what the text line would say. Guys, it's the preseason against the Panthers. Get real. LMAO. I hope TJ Watt lights Sanders up. Smug nepotism baby back B. I don't know what he did to that guy, but
baby back, baby back, yeah. Baby back. I want my baby back, baby back. Yeah. Cleveland's baby back QB.
Yeah.
Shador Sanders. Like,
everyone wanted him to fail.
Why?
And he didn't, because he's Shador Sanders.
Who cares? People, like, it's better when he's good.
And for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't give a rip if he's good or bad, but it's better for us when he's good. And it's also good for us if he's terrible. But again, like, that's the thing is, like, people just don't like him because of who he is. He's arrogant. He's flamboyant. He's Deion's son. People think he's been given everything, and maybe he has, but he's in the NFL, and he had a good preseason game.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying.
Let me ask you this, though. What has he done since he's been in the league that's been flamboyant, that's been something that you haven't liked? Other than the speeding, right, which is bad. He can't be doing 100 miles an hour. But I feel like he's come in, he's kept his head down, he's worked, he hasn't.
His intro was a little much.
Yeah.
Him walking in with his entourage.
Yeah.
The guy's got a speaker playing his song at full volume. Again, I'm not saying anything bad or good about it. I'm just saying, Some perception
people won't like, yes, something like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know, but it feels like anytime somebody tries to bring fun in or personality, people don't like that.
Yeah.
Why? Why don't we like that? Then we complain that these guys are boring and they're robots and they just give you a cliche.
Exactly.
Right?
Can't win.
So, like, which is it? Like, I like the personality to be shown. I like to see these guys in their element, doing their own thing, being who they are. And then I like to see Shador go out there and win like he did the other night. I thought he won the day. I thought he won the week one of preseason.
Absolutely.
I thought he was really good. Like,
I think your boy did too in New York.
Jackson Dart.
Later,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he was really good. Too. But Shador was the guy that everybody was talking about. I was overwhelmed by him. I didn't think he'd be any good at all. And he was throwing passes that you're not supposed to be throwing. That's why I think he was good. He was making NFL throws. It doesn't matter who he was playing against. He was making great NFL throws. I'd love to have this guy as the starting quarterback for Cleveland this year. It's so good for the league. It's fun.
Coming up on the other side, we get to dying on that hill. If you don't understand that reference, it means what is an opinion that you are willing to stand on and never let anyone change your mind. But this one is there anything else you are willing to die on a hill for truly being better when you were a kid? So when you were a kid, has there ever been anything that's never been better since you were a kid that you're willing to die on that hill? Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what yo up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
So does the All-22 guy watch the All-22 on preseason?
Oh, I would imagine, right?
Okay,
you
got to
go back and rewatch this. There may be a third string guy out there that's kind of falling through the cracks he doesn't want to miss out on, right?
Ooh, I already like a good text for this topic that we're having, which is what's something that you are willing to die on the hill that was truly great when you were a kid and never better.
Yeah, I see these tweets all the time about Saturday Night Live. And no matter what your generation is, you believe that the Saturday Night Live that you grew up with is the best Saturday Night Live. Because no matter what sketch is on or what they do, I always see people that tweet. And I've seen this for years since Twitter and social media. back when Saturday Night Live was funny, and then they'll show a clip of like Chris Farley, or they'll show a clip of Dan Aykroyd, or they'll show a clip of, you know, something from when they were, you know, in their childhood. And it seems like to me, no matter what generation you are, Saturday Night Live has not been good since you were like in that wheelhouse of like that high school, college age, right? I feel like no matter who you are, that's your era of Saturday Night Live, and that's the era you think is the best, and it doesn't matter what happens.
Yeah, I was kind of lucky with mine. That sounds like Zelda?
It's Tetris.
Tetris.
Oh, yeah.
It's just going to switch. It'll switch to another game here soon.
I used to love Tetris.
Tetris was awesome. Still is.
Yeah, it's still great.
There's Mario.
Mario Brothers.
Yeah. Mario?
Mario
Lemieux? But no,
what
I mean,
do you say? Tell me I'm pronouncing it wrong, for God's sakes. Jesus.
Mario?
Yeah, what's Mario? The difference? Mario? I mean
long A versus short A?
I don't think anybody calls it Mario Kart.
Yeah, I'd say Mario all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh, wow, never heard that.
All right. That must be like a Jersey thing.
Yeah, I've never heard Mario.
Never have. I'm today years
really?
Old.
Really?
Yeah, today. It's like, that's like Spec saying Reese's.
Now, nobody says that.
Yeah, that's come on.
No, I mean, I think that I was lucky enough for Saturday Night Live that I was, like, young enough but old enough to understand, like, during the, like, Dana Carvey, Mike Myers, that era, like, Phil Hartman and all that.
Yeah.
And then I was really lucky when I got to go into, like, you know, Will Ferrell, all those guys as well. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was kind of like a mixed bag of everything. But, yeah, I mean, after that, then I, like, you know, I kind of lost touch with it, and I realized that, oh, yeah, Sudeikis and Sandberg and Kristen Wiig, like, all those people were funny, too.
Well, you lose touch with it, I think, when you go to college and you're out Saturday night and you're drinking and you're doing that thing and you miss that whole era of Saturday Night Live, right? You miss that entire era of Saturday Night Live. And I think, you know, so you remember what you grew up with, and then maybe you get back into Saturday Night Live when you're done going out, mid-30s or something like that. And then you look at it and you go, oh, it's not as good as when I was a kid. Because nothing is as good in your mind when you were a kid, right? It doesn't matter. So I ask, what are you willing to die on hill-wise when it comes to this was absolutely better when I was a kid? Because for me, it's comedy. Comedy isn't funny anymore. We're too damn serious, and we want to cancel everybody. We don't allow people to be funny. Mm. I will die on the hill that comedy was better for me when I was younger.
Dr. Mackenstein?
Not a lot for me, but I'll do video games, but I think I'd go back like a generation or two to find a lot of the best for me personally. Like the best music, not my generation, older. The best, you know, all that stuff, probably older. But video games were really good.
You're really not ready to die on the music hill, huh?
My music? My generation?
Okay.
Because like, even
music, usually is one of those things.
Like, but the music I like is from, like, I guess if you count like Blink-182, my generation, but I'm like kind of a tweener. I'm like a little young for that. You know? Like,
I wasn't even like my generation.
Yeah, it's kind of more dusty. So it's like, but that's more of like my favorite music. Yeah. I don't even.
We really got like the punk rock in my generation.
And that's
like
what I love. But
we got Green Day, Sum 41, Blink-182, Simple Plan.
Yeah, I got MGK.
Ugh. Woof. The hill I'd die on is school lunch.
That's a good one.
Like, we used to have, like, where it didn't matter what you ate. And now it's like, there's like a plan.
Yeah.
Like, you have all these, like.
Well, I don't know if there is any. I don't know how they're doing it anymore with school lunches, because.
Pizza sticks, spicy chicken sandwiches, taco salad was just chili and nacho cheese, and Florence gave it to you in a taco shell.
Hell yeah.
Sour cream and lettuce? Yes. Mm. Why are you grabbing the sour cream with your hand? Shouldn't you just scoop it? It's okay. She just. Oh, man, it hit every once in a while.
Did you say who that was?
Florence.
Florence, I think
she's she's a little old lady that did taco salads. She just says, cheese, because that's where you got the cheese for your fries at Blue Springs High School. You went over there and she gave you cheese. Yeah, fries and cheese and chicken strips. That was everybody's lunch in high school. Three chicken strips, a boat of fries and cheese. And you went and sat down. And then in the other days, it was like two pizza sticks, side of ranch, side of fries. Or it was a spicy chicken sandwich. Or you got lucky and they brought in Mr. Good Sense and you get like a little quarter sandwich and a bag of chips for like 3 months.
I'll never die on the hill of our school lunches being. Ours were terrible.
See, ours were
awful
great.
School lunch. I mean, square piece of pizza, hot dog, tuna fish sandwich, peanut butter and jelly.
The square pizzas, I would still eat that too.
And you picked the cheese off the pizza and you looked at it, it looked like somebody's face full of zits.
Mm.
Like, oh, it was just nasty.
I was eating that face, baby.
God, it was so gross.
I do like this from the 913. Chipotle was better when I was a kid.
No doubt.
Great one.
That's 100%.
Cheaper.
Well, cheaper, more food, better.
Yeah, better. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I just think that, like, I don't know, like, it changed. It got too produced, right? Like, it used to be like, you go to Chipotle in Overland Park, Independence, or Lee Summit. And that was the only Chipotles you go to. And then there's like now one here, one there.
Oh, it's become Starbucks, you know.
Yeah, and so like the product is getting, you know, it's got to get distributed more around. So somebody says, Dusty, people know how good we had it at Blue Springs High School. They don't, man. It was, I mean, just amazing. Blue Powerade, and then if you were lucky.
Oh, Blue Powerade. Look at you. Wow.
You better believe it.
That's awesome.
Somebody says ESPN was better when they were a kid.
It was. That's a good one. No, that's a really good one. You actually saw highlights. Made you a sports fan. ESPN's a big reason I became a sports fan.
MTV's up there.
MTV played music videos. I saw one the other day. It was the 41st anniversary of MTV on August 1st. And it said, happy 41st anniversary, MTV. Thanks for the 14 years of music.
Somebody says fast food in general is better when I was younger.
God, the prices are out of hand for the fast food. I'm not going to sound like the old guy because I don't eat fast food. But, I mean, $10.99 for a value meal? Come on.
It's ridiculous.
As a 90s kid, I'll die on the hill to the fact we were kids for the best decade of anyone.
See, that's another one. You die on that decade of what you think was the best. I'll die on the hill of being a kid in the 80s was fantastic. We had nothing to worry about. Car and you moved your hockey net. I mean, that was it.
Before we go to break, who hit the shot for Kansas to go to overtime?
Mario Chalmers.
Not Mario Chalmers?
Mario Chalmers. Mario, I don't know. I just, however I say it.
I'm just checking.
We had a text.
Yeah, because somebody says, Bob says Mario Chalmers is going to piss gold off, LOL.
I really don't care.
Oh, just have fun. It's Monday.
I mean, it's so stupid, though.
What's stupid? To make Alex Gould mad to say Mario?
No, I mean, who cares? Mario, Plaza, who cares? Yeah.
Well, maybe next time we'll go on the Mario go-round at the mall with the horses and the unicorns.
Well, it's called a merry-go-round. It doesn't even make sense.
Well, I call it a Mario go-round.
Okay, then fine. You're wrong on that one.
Coming up on the other side, the Royals had a tough weekend, and we'll explain what...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
They need to do next because there's only 44 games left in the season here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.